At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
There, yes, that abysmal intro music can only mean one thing. Welcome back, finally.
We're back,
to
baby.
To the worst of Netflix. I know, right? What the fuck?
Yeah, where have you been?
This is... Yeah, where have I been? I've been nowhere, to be honest. Just sitting here going, I can't be arsed to watch it.
Yeah, and that
has gone on.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a guess at how many days it's been since we did the last one, Gaz?
Oh, do you know what? I was thinking about this. I was going to check it up, so I'm glad I didn't. I'm going to guess it's
check
been...
Check it up.
It's a weird sentence, wasn't it? I'm going to guess
so
it's
weird.
Been 120 days.
Oh, that's so poor. That's such a poor, poor guess.
Why?
That's almost as poor as when on the last podcast we did,
You
said victim of shame. So it's actually been... 245 days
since
we did a worst of Netflix.
That's terrible. Yeah. And do you know what the funny thing is?
Yeah.
For almost every single week of those days, we've said, "Don't worry, worst of Netflix is coming soon."
Yeah, last year as well. Fucking
Jesus!
Hell.
Do you know? So, think about all the things that have happened since then.
I know. Well, I've noted some down. So you've got married.
Yep.
Yeah. I've had a daughter.
Yep.
Australia burnt down and now is back to normal.
Well.
And we've got COVID-19 that's, ravaged the world. So
crazy times.
Yeah. But look, there are some highs and lows in there. And yet here we are attempting to get even lower by bringing back a series that attempts to find the absolute worst that Netflix has to offer. Why are we doing this again?
Why are we doing this? Well, boredom, mostly. And to be honest, it was a relief to watch something that is almost supposed to be a bit shit, or like that you know is going to be shit. Because we've been doing Westworld, season 3. Mm. And the thing about that is that it's trying really hard to be good, and it's just constantly disappointing.
It's not.
Whereas doing this little series of ours means that we expect it to be terrible. So anything that's not terrible is positive, and anything that is terrible is par for the course. So I'm glad this is back.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's a question. So you're obviously a teacher. Do you mark kids that way? Do you look at a kid and go, he's a bit shit, so my expectations of this test are going to be very low?
Yep.
And then someone else, you're like, you should be doing better than that, to be honest. Do you mark in that way? Or
yeah, and if Kevin Wong is listening, well done for your last project. That was very impressive. He even spelt his name wrong.
Good, that it's very good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, coming away from the good, we're now going to talk about the film that we're covering. So, every time someone has said, "Hey, man, when are you going to do that film about monsters in the ocean?" I'm like, "No, right? It's called Humanoids of the Deep." Mm. And then I went to watch the film, and I was like, "For fuck's sake, it's called Humanoids from the Deep." So all this time,
yeah,
I've been getting it wrong anyway. But look, it's it's a 1980, you know, blockbuster hit. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, big budget
and yeah, big budget, big bud shit. Maybe. Ooh. I don't know. But $2 million they spent on this. I don't know where that money went. Certainly not on the costumes. Someone is definitely siphoning some money here. Maybe maybe Doug McClure. Maybe he he got the money.
I mean, he is big budget, big butt shit actor. Like, he is taking up a lot of that money, definitely. I wonder, there's an explosion at one point that might have cost them a fair bit.
I know. Like, there's some things in here where I'm like, why have they spent all that money on characters we don't even know or matter? But we'll get onto that in a bit. As always, I'm going to open us up to some reviews of this film, just to set the scene.
All right.
And this time around, I've gone with a good review.
Yep.
And a bad review.
Okay.
Now, there are themes running through the good reviews and the bad reviews. The people that like this film like it for a very specific reason. And the people that hate this film hate it for a very specific reason.
Uh-huh. But I know. Is it the same reason?
Yeah. Sort of, actually. Mm. So we'll start off with a good review. From BA_Harrison16.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote this in April 2007.
Nice.
It's when I was just getting into the working world, actually. Good times.
There you go.
He gave this film 9 out of 10. And the title of this review is Gill Men, Kill Men, and Rape Women.
Wow. Okay.
Now,
yep. Sums it up.
So, well, yeah. All of the good reviews feature the phrase gratuitous nudity. And we'll get onto that now. Check this out for a storyline. Hideous fishmen rise from the ocean depths in order to mate with human females and thus speed up their rapid evolution, which has already been kick-started by them eating genetically mutated salmon. Now, if that doesn't sound like B-movie monster heaven, then I don't know what does. So there you go. That's all BA_Harrison16 is looking for in a film.
Nine
out of ten.
I mean...
Yeah? It's lighthearted.
That's the thing. Like, what else do you need? I think, if you think about films like Schindler's List, right? Pretty good movie. Chuck in some mutated salmon. Excellent movie.
Well, just replace the Nazis with mutated salmon instead.
That's what this is.
Yeah. Just one of them with like a little like Nazi uniform on. Oh, whoa, what's that humanoid wearing?
Kill that one.
Yeah, definitely kill that. That's a bad one. That's definitely a bad one. The rest, we don't really know what their motivations are. Put your willy away. Yeah. So all of the bad reviews... do feature the word rape. Now, this film is so confusing to me because... this isn't the review, by the way. This is just me riffing.
Sure.
I do enjoy... there are parts of this film that I genuinely think are quite funny. They don't mean to be. It's just a terrible film. But then you get a review like this that really kind of underlines the problem that this film has.
Yeah.
So, Barnaby Rudge.
Great name.
I know, right? So Barnaby Rudge wrote this in on the 27th of December. So, you know, they've watched this film, I don't know, on Boxing Day maybe. Yeah. That's their Christmas ruined in 2002.
Got the family round.
Yeah. Sick exploitation fodder is what they wrote.
Okay.
And this is quite long, so bear with me. Imagine my excitement... having searched for this notorious exploitation item for years. I like that as a journey. I finally track it down whilst on vacation in San Fran.
Mm.
I spend the rest of the vacation itching to get home to watch it. Okay. Then, when I finally get home, I discover myself lumbered with possibly the worst and easily the sickest of all the many Jaws rip-offs that have ever been made. Even on an unintentionally funny level, it doesn't work. Rape and wanton carnage are not amusing matters. So the Wafer Thin plot is about some oversized fish monsters that rise from the ocean deep and bring mayhem to a West Coast fishing community. According to the scientist in the film, a miscast Anne Turkle, who pronounces most of the scientific language incorrectly, fucking hell, they are evolving rapidly and need to mate with human women, or just women will do, in order to take the next step in their evolutionary process. This is the excuse for some graphic rape sequences involving naked women being mounted and abused by men in rubber suits. They're humanoids from the deep, right? Let's not be calling them men in rubber suits. At the end, the monsters attack a seaside carnival. There you go, spoiler warning.
Yeah.
And seem to mysteriously forget their desire to rape and just start ripping off arms and legs of anyone they can find, regardless of gender. The blood spurts out all over the place, but is totally the wrong shade of red to be convincing.
Oh my god.
It looks more like spare paint from London double-decker buses.
Having a go at buses, is he?
Having a go at buses? Having a go at London buses?
Yeah. Hey, wonder what colour your buses are, mate. Yeah. Oh, look, we got trams that go up hills.
Yeah, we're calling you out, right? So, yeah, there you go.
Why does he know so much about the colour of blood?
Yeah, and the way to pronounce very specific scientific terms as well.
Yeah.
Is Barnaby Rudge like, I don't know, who's the scientist in like the Human Centipede? Probably like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the subject of rape, I can't believe I'm saying that on a Worse than Netflix
don't,
as well.
Don't start many sentences that way, but go on.
No. Yeah. Just like the worst best man speech of all time. So this film had a female director, Barbara Peters.
Yeah.
So a female director of a film like this surprised me. And then I found out that the producer of this film, Roger Corman, who loves all this shit B-movie nonsense, he fell out with Barbara because he was like, well, you know, why are all the men dying horribly and nothing happens to the women? I read that. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
Surely not. Like, the women are raped, for fuck's sakes. So... But apparently that didn't happen in the original take. So Roger reshot the film and added all of those horrendous rape scenes that we see in the final take without anyone of the main cast knowing that that was the case.
That's incredible. And to be fair, I did see a short snippet of an interview with him where he said... I didn't know the context of what he was saying, but he said, I realized that we had all this detail of all the killings, but none of the detail of any of the rapes.
Pardon? Why? What is this guy's obsession, man?
Mental. That is mental. That
even if
be allowed.
Even if he does think that, don't say that. Don't say that out loud in an interview. Like, fucking hell, mate.
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. Don't go out of your way to film it and then put it in a film without a director knowing. Like, fucking hell. So, obviously, Barbara Peters was fuming, and she fell out with Rog.
Mm. Not the only thing that fell out in this movie.
Ew. Mm. Shouldn't really use that noise, but it's too difficult to resist. So Peters and Anne Turkle, who plays Dr. Susan Drake, who we'll talk about in a bit, they asked for their names to be removed from the production.
Really?
And he said no.
Oh, my God.
He said no. Like, how petty is that?
But how is he allowed to get away with that?
In fact, if anything, we're going to put both your names in massive writing at the top of the
poster. I'm going to call the movie Your Names.
Yeah. Yeah, Carl, what's this film about? It's a bit weird. So there you go.
Wow.
I just love the pettiness of it, to be honest.
It's bizarre. Clearly, a slightly unstable human being.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, we will recap the film as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Because, I mean, to be honest, it's about a seaside town that gets overrun with humanoids. That's it. That's the end of the film, basically.
Yeah.
But before all that, we're going to have a little advert break.
Out of gas? You mean to tell me you've been out here all day and you didn't even check the gas in the goddamn winch motor?
Cheers, John. Still banging that joke out. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how the fuck have you not seen that? So we're gonna plug that podcast. Gaz, do you wanna tell us about that series?
Yeah, sure. It was an idea that was incepted when we were having a little bit of a fan critical get together, and it was my coming clean about the fact that I hadn't seen RoboCop and had been pretending for years that I had seen it. And then we realised that we all had skeletons in our closet of movies that we should have seen and we haven't. And we thought, well, what a great excuse to make sure that we do watch them. Let's do a podcast on them. So we've got a little series going. We've got three under the belt so far. Obviously my RoboCop. Robot Cop, that was good. Robot Policeman.
Mm. Robot Policeman, yeah. Great film.
Len hadn't seen Reservoir Dogs and has now.
Yeah, Reservoir Doggy. Seen that now and he didn't give it a very good score, which annoys me, but whatever.
Well, he gave it 4. It's still a very good score.
Give it five.
It's the wrong score, but it's still a very good score.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And you, young man, you hadn't seen Spirited Away, which I'm expanding to the fact that you hadn't seen any Studio Ghibli movie at all.
Well, look,
which is terrible, but you know, you have.
All right, fucking hell. I've seen loads of other films, yeah. I've seen RoboCop 2.
Yeah.
Reservoir
Dogs 2.
There's others, you know, Avengers, seen that. So
Humanoids from the Deep.
Seen them all. Yeah, and Of the Deep as well, seen that. So but look, you know, the Ghibli stuff could end up being a spin-off podcast. I haven't decided whether or not I can be bothered to do it yet, but
no, it'd be very good.
You know, there might be something good to come out of it.
You've been confused by all the bizarre creatures that appear in Studio Ghibli films.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it and I'm like, what the fuck's he supposed to be? A dog or a rabbit or a cat? What's going on here?
He's a radish spirit.
Yeah, well, there you go. We have finished our Westworld coverage. Thank the gods.
Thank God.
It was terrible, let's be honest. But, you know, there was at least one person on the podcast, Len, that is lying to himself and said he absolutely loved it. Yeah. So if you enjoyed it, and you want to hear some positive vibes, tune in and listen to Len and then just turn it off.
Yeah, I thought it was, but I'll give it 4 blueberries because I really enjoyed it, to be honest. I just really enjoyed it.
That's Len in every one of those episodes.
To be honest, like 80% of the episode I didn't enjoy, but that 20% was 4 bloobs.
Doesn't make any sense. Moron. Yeah. But, yeah, whereas if you're not lying to yourself and you thought, what a load of shit that was, go and listen to us slag it off.
Yeah, that's also an option.
And then we're changing the vibe up a little bit. We've got a little video game podcast that has been started by some friends of the Fan Critical Network. So, Story Mode, Gaz's little brother, and his mates, just talk about video games.
Yeah.
All the video game news.
Len and I guest appeared last week as well, so that was good fun. We discussed our ideas for video game movies that haven't yet been made that should be made. So that was cool. Enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should make Super Mario Brothers 3. Yep. Why that specifically?
Because of the hats.
Yeah, so no, that's good. It's all good. Yeah. I like raccoons. Yeah. So anyway, that's enough pluggy of our other stuff. Let's go back to talking about this trash movie.
Boys, we got ourselves a problem.
So, like most of the worst of Netflix films, we get a bizarre intro. And
right.
I mean, it's just a bit of weird music, grainy footage. You're like, okay, I mean, look, this is going to be a shit film. And then just a giant, like, red capital letters, monster, just zooms at the screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I watching the right film here? And then just in tiny, tiny letters at the bottom, you get the name of the film, Humanoids from the Deep. Why is that going on? Why is that happening?
I was so baffled. Monster is fine. Like, if that's what you want to call your
Humanoids
movie,
from the Deep.
Not a problem. Call it that. But you haven't called it that. You've called it Humanoids from the Deep. Mental. And I had to send a little picture and say, like, I'm watching it just to check. Like, because I was hoping that you wouldn't reply and say, what the fuck is that? That's the wrong film. And you didn't. So I knew I was watching the right thing. So that was fine.
Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah. But apparently the reason for that is that this film was called Monster outside of North America.
Was it really?
In Japan, they had the fucking temerity to bring this out in Japan and call it Monster.
Do you know what? I was just saying, if you want to call your film Monster, go for it. No, actually, that's a terrible name for this movie. It should not be called Monster.
Imagine that. I'm going to watch a film tonight. Imagine that in the 80s. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, going to the cinema because it was a big thing.
Going to the drive-through.
Like 1980.
Oh, drive-in, yeah. Sorry.
Well, what are you going to see tonight? Going to see Godzilla again? No. Going to see a new one, Monster.
Monster.
They spent $2 million on this. Sorry, it's called Monster of what? No, just Monster. Right, okay. What's it about? Just some rapey men, apparently.
That's the the ultimate monster movie, obviously.
Yeah. Should have just called it Men.
Weren't they going to call it Barbara, what's her name?
Yeah. So there you go. Probably was called that in Corman's. Is that his name? Yeah. Roger Corman's hometown. Yeah, I've made this film about fucking Barbara Peters. Yeah, good. Anyway, so we start in Noyo.
I think they pronounce it. Yeah,
Noyo. Yeah. So using your geography powers, Gaz.
Yeah.
Where the fuck's that?
I'm pretty sure it was on the West Coast. I think it was California.
Right, okay.
Well, I think they wanted it to be sleepy, backwater, little fishing village, didn't they? That was the point.
Yeah, okay, fine. We'll let it off then.
Yeah.
Geography
is not the enemy of this film.
Ah, geography's trying to rape me. So, we get introduced to some very average-looking characters.
The very first bit of dialogue in this movie is fucking bizarre. It is bizarre.
I'm going to insert it.
You know, it's almost not worth going out anymore, given the fact that the salmon all but disappeared. Hell, I'd be happy with a good tuna fish. Salmon. Huh?
Huh? So Jim's obviously talking to his brother, Tommy. And, look, you just heard it, but the delivery, you know, it's almost not worth going out anymore, given the fact that, you know, the salmon have all disappeared. Eh? Huh?
Huh? Huh?
I'd be happy with a good tuna fish. Huh? 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 I'm like, what's going on here? Has he forgot his lines or something?
But hold on. There's an even more mental bit of this, right? Because... You're right. He goes, the whole thing is amazing. It's almost not worth going out given the salmon have all but disappeared. Huh? Huh? I'd give anything for a tuna fish, huh? Or a salmon, huh? Huh? What do you mean?
Why does he keep saying that?
There's a point later on in this movie where I ended up doing something slightly creative, and I'm not going to spoil it yet, but I will say that the word salmon appears in it.
Yeah, okay.
Good. I'll come to it soon.
Yeah. But look, I mean, that's our first introduction to the golden dialogue that this film has.
And then it is glorious.
And then they introduce us to Deke, who is some aggressive old man who spends all of his film dialogue berating a small child, which cracks me up.
And saying, "Jeez, jeez.
Yeah. Oh, you little prick. Stop saying that." Genuinely, he's a small boy.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a teenager or anything.
Oh, I've got to say.
But we'll come back to him in a bit.
Jackie, the boy, he's a fucking dingus.
Yeah, Jackie Dingus. But no, we'll come back to him in a bit.
Okay.
We're also reintroduced to the town racist, because they all have them, in Hank. And the guy he obviously hates, Johnny, who I think is a Native American.
Yeah,
or like descended at least from...
The implication is that he's Native American.
Mm.
Yeah. They call him an Injun.
Yeah, Injun, yeah. Fair play for like... if he'd have turned up and he had like a little waistcoat on and like a feather, I'd be like, fucking hell, come on. But he at least, you know, he doesn't look... They've not gone out of their way to go, this guy is definitely Native American.
No, he's wearing he's wearing like a Marty McFly costume, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's fashionable.
Yeah.
He's got a cool little dog as well. The main beef, or salmon, between Hank and Johnny is the planned cannery. Now,
yeah.
Look, I'm not a fisherman. And I don't live in some sleepy backwater town. So I had absolutely no idea what the fuck they were talking about when they were arguing about this cannery.
Well, can I just say, mate, it really doesn't matter that you have no idea, because it actually plays zero part in the plot at all. No, I don't know why it's in there, why it's this big deal that keeps coming up.
Yeah, I mean, look, I noted down that it does not matter at all. But that's fine. That's fine. I mean, look, there's loads of things that don't matter in this film.
Okay.
But we'll talk about the ventriloquist dummy later. So back to Deke and his son. So they're out fishing in the sea. and I'll insert the audio because it is hilarious.
God damn it, now what?
Out of gas, Pop.
Out of gas? You mean to tell me you've been out here all day and you didn't even check the gas in the goddamn winch motor?
Sorry, Pop.
Oh, come on now. Sorry doesn't get it, son. So get it filled up for me, will you? Quick.
Out of gas, Pop. Out of gas? You mean to tell me you've been here all day and didn't even check the gas in the goddamn winch motor? Sorry, Pop. Oh, come on now. Now, sorry doesn't get it, son. Like, fucking hell. Chill
I love
out.
I love that he had son in there, though. Like, it just sort of softens it a bit, doesn't it? It's like, you know, I am still your dad.
He's seething, though.
He's fuming. He's fucking fuming. There is also a bit in a moment where he goes like, oh, why always me?
Yeah, I do get the feeling that Deke, I mean, he looks like he's had a shit life. He really does. So I can sort of understand it. And also, his kid is a moron. But, you know, he's a small boy. Like, lay off him. Fucking hell. Like, but anyway, so what happens next is even funnier. And I'm going to steal the wiki entry here.
Go
because
on.
It just cracked me up. Because it's just so matter of fact and cold, and I thought it was a good way to describe it for our listeners. So, the young son of one of the anglers,
Deke, falls into the water, and something unseen drags him under the surface. Another angler prepares a flare gun, but he slips and accidentally fires it into the deck, which is soaked with gasoline dropped earlier by the boy. The vessel bursts into flames and explodes. Everybody aboard is killed.
Fact.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
And who's watching from afar?
So, yeah. So we've got Jim, who he's I mean, I'd describe it as a mild reaction to what he's just seen.
Well, I mean, it's very calm. He's like, he looks over through some binoculars and turns to his brother and says, "I don't see anyone in the water." Well, no, because they've just been blown up, mate. Like, they're in bits.
Fucking boats exploded. Like, I mean, if this was a war zone, I would at least expect a soldier to be like, "Oh, fucking hell, that boat's just exploded." But certainly, if you just live in a sleepy town where nothing happens and you see your mate's boat explode and everyone pretty much dead, like, where's his acting? Where's his reaction?
It's mental.
Having said that, I mean, in the very next scene, the very next scene, he's playing with his little boy and just cracking up. And it's like, why have they transitioned to that? It doesn't make any sense. No. He's also talking to a sheriff that, I mean, this guy, I don't know who the actor is, but he is one tone throughout this whole film, and it's fantastic as well.
I kind of love it, and I don't know whether this is because he's a terrible actor or whether he thought that was what the character should be. And if it's the latter, he's a fucking genius. Like, he did it perfectly. Mm. He played just the old bored sheriff that does not give a shit about anything that's going on.
He peaks in a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about, you know, we'll talk about one of them shortly. But
just quickly, Jim is far too old for the age of his kid. And also doesn't understand how to be a dad. Like, the kid starts crying and he's like, "The fuck's the matter with this kid? Hey, what's going on?" He's more animated about that than he was about the boat exploding.
Yeah, and also when he starts talking to his dog and goes, sick him, boy. It's like, sick what?
Sick him.
King hell. Oh, the dog's annoyed. Yeah, kill it. Kill what? There's nothing. He's in the house. Hell, don't encourage the dog. So they let the dog out.
to go and sick him.
The dog's dead. The dog's fucking dead.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for it. They find it on the beach and it's a spewed, squishy mess. Big eyeball in a pile of guts.
Yep.
Fucking hilarious. Even then, the reaction, I mean, the wife, good on her. You know, she's like, "Oh no," and she turns. She can't look at it. Jim's just staring at it.
Yeah.
Again, you know, his reaction is maybe slightly more shocked than when he sees a ship burst into flames, but
marginally.
You know, again, he's so placid. It's not just Jim's dog that's dead. So, you know, everyone's dogs.
Yeah. Dead. Why are these fucking humanoids? What have they got against dogs? What's their problem here?
Well, I'm thinking that they've gone, do you know what? That dog, he's trying to grass us up, so let's just kill all the dogs. Why?
Apart from that one.
Yeah, apart from that one. Don't kill that one. Why are they discussing this? Like, that doesn't happen, by the way. For anyone that's listening that hasn't seen the film, the humanoids don't have a discussion about which dogs to pick off.
No.
It just so happens that for story purposes, it makes a little bit of sense for Hank to be like, "Ah, what? That Injun's dog's all right, so he must have killed all the dogs for no reason." So he
just
then kills
quickly as well.
Johnny's dog.
His name's Slattery. Like, how
Hank Slattery? Yeah.
Hank Slattery. How like Slattery is such an evil person's name? Like, he is never going to be the good guy, is he?
But, you know, for any slatteries that are listening, we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, even if you are an evil person.
Yeah. So all the dogs are dead. And I'm just thinking, why? Stop killing dogs in this film.
Do you like dags? I hope you don't if you're watching
dogs.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I like dogs. I like killing them because I'm a humanoid from the deep.
Well, where are you from there? So skipping ahead a bit. Everyone in town is going to the No-Yo Salmon Festival.
Yeah, this is shit.
So, you know, big event. It is shit. It is shit. But they play it as if it's shit as well. Like, yeah. The people on the announce, like the tannoys and stuff. And hello, everyone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully you have a good time and that. Once again, Jim turns up and he walks to the door. And what I assume is the host is excited to see him. Do you remember what he says to Jim?
No, what does he say?
Hey, when are we next going duck hunting, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Jim, in the most casual and inappropriate way, says... Oh,
yeah, this is so good.
Hi, Jim. Carol. Nice seeing you. Hello, Jim. Hey, when are we going to get some duck hunting in, young fella?
I just lost my dog.
Oh, sorry. Where's your husband?
And then just gets on with it. Oh, that killed me. The first time I saw that, I was cracking up so much.
Incredible. Just incredible dialogue.
Yeah.
I kind of admire...
I lost my dog.
I kind of admire the casual nature of that.
Yeah. When are we next going duck hunting, Jim? I just lost my dog. Oh, fuck.
So good.
Yeah, you're killing the vibe, mate. This is already a shit festival, and now you're fucking telling people your dog's dead. Like... Oh yeah, how you doing? You having a good day? Oh, dog's dead. Oh, why are you saying that? Fucking hell. Tell me later. Yeah.
Just,
mental.
You know. Also, I mean, I know that a dog is helpful when it comes to duck hunting, I believe. So, but is it a prerequisite? Does that mean that he can't go duck hunting now because he hasn't got a dog?
It does, yeah.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
So maybe he's sad about that. Maybe he's like, I need to go and buy a new dog because my other one's dead. So what's going on?
I got turned into goo.
Yeah. Yeah, I found it a smudgy mess on the beach. Okay. Yeah, cheers. Thanks. Right. Have a good time in there, mate. It's important to note at this festival, we're introduced to Susan. Dr.
She
Susan Drake.
Looks a right fucking laugh.
Slagging her off. Do you know who she reminded me of?
She was so miserable, but go on.
Yeah, she was miserable, but she's a doctor. They're all a bit like that, aren't they? And also
scientist.
She's a salmon doctor, so that must be fucking boring as. Imagine that. Imagine like you're a salmon doctor, you're in this shit town and someone's like, oh, there's a big festival on tonight. You turn up and it's a salmon festival. You'd be like, oh, fucking hell.
This is more work.
Fucking hell, man.
Although when you said salmon doctor, I'm sort of imagining like a giant fish wearing like a lab coat. Hello, I am a salmon doctor.
Hello there, I'm salmon. Sorry, Simon or... No, look at me. I'm a fish.
But coincidentally, my first name is Simon.
Simon the salmon. Right, sorry, was it Salmon the Simon? No, it doesn't make any sense. Again, remember, I'm a fish. Anyway, so Dr. Salmon Drake, she reminded me of the actress that was in Dawn of the Dead, like the original Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, yes. So, do you know what? I thought she looked familiar and I couldn't place it at all. I thought maybe she just looks like... every sort of quite attractive lady in the 80s, but that's what it is.
So she's a doctor and she's part of a scheme to increase the salmon population. Like, fucking hell.
Well, I think this was about justifying the cannery or something. Like, the cannery, I know you're a bit worried about it, but actually Dr. Salmon says that they're going to increase how many salmon there are.
Yeah, and everyone's like, yay. They're not. They don't even give a shit, do they? Fucking hell. It's like, look, we're going to make one anyway, so, you know, it is what it is. But the party gets ruined a little bit, because before that, it was brilliant.
yeah.
Because, you know, Johnny turns up.
Johnny Eagle.
Yeah. Such a cool name.
Yeah.
So he turns up, carries his dead dog in. He's murdered. He's murdered dog. And he's like, you've killed my dog, haven't you? And Hank's like, oh, just piss off, mate. You know, no one invited you here. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm now going to sue you or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
What? Oh, why is he saying that?
It's bizarre.
I'm going to fight you in the courts of law. I'm like, no.
I'm gonna fight you your way. Why? Is he a lawyer? Yeah. I think he's a salmon fisherman. What's going on? You're going to put him in a net.
I'm going to fight you. Yeah.
A net of bureaucracy.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
Get out. That's too good for this film.
Yeah,
so
cut that out.
But we get a confrontation between Hank and Johnny.
Yeah.
Everyone's, I mean, look, it just kicks off. You know, they're all beating him up. Gets caught cold. And then, for some reason, Jim's like, nah, do you know what? This is bang out of order. And he just jumps in and starts throwing punches. Yeah. As does his brother, Tommy.
And the sound effects.
Yeah, I mean... yeah. I can't believe that they didn't just put, like, a bang and zap and wallop in there. That would have been good. But then the sheriff... he starts firing wildly in the air. Or does he? Because we hear some gunshots.
Yeah.
Some abysmal, like, stock sound effects of a gun shooting. It cuts to the sheriff. I mean, his gun's, I think it's holstered at this point. And he's like...
Yeah, he's quick
draw. All right, boys. Yeah, all right, boys. That's about enough. Go on home.
All right, boys. That'll be about enough. Now pick yourselves up and go on home.
Yeah.
That's the actual audio.
Passionate like, delivery.
This guy is so dry. All right, boys, that's about enough. Go on home.
You've referred to Jim's brother Tommy. I didn't know that he was his brother, but this is when Jim goes, get the guy behind me, bro. And so I was like, okay, he doesn't sound like the type of guy just to sort of throw bro around. So I was like, I wonder if that is his brother.
He does. But he says it so much as well. Like,
yes. Look,
I mean, you've got a brother. I've got brothers.
Yeah.
We're never saying that. I'm never saying bro. Just come over here, bro. Do you want a drink, bro? Too much, honestly. It's like Len in the old days of this podcast,
oh
where
my God.
Every time he wanted to talk to me, he would be like, "Ah, yeah. So, what do you think of that, bro?" I'm like, "Look, I know you're not comfortable talking to me. Don't be so obvious about it."
I think it might have just been that McClure forgot what the character's name was, but he remembered that he was supposed to be his brother, so he's just, "Oh, come on, bro."
Well, look, I mean. Doug McClure, he's not there to be some sort of, you know, genius mastermind, and they've confused him by having one character called Tommy and another one called Johnny. I bet he definitely called Tommy Johnny at points in this film. They probably just dubbed bro over. Johnny! No! In fact, can you just say the word bro and we'll just edit that over the film later?
Jim!
Yeah, hilarious.
Jim! No, your Jim!
Your Jim! Your Jim? No! No, not your Jim. That's not even a name.
Simon the Salmon. So,
yeah. So they all go home on the sheriff's advice.
Yeah.
This encounter leads to Hank deciding that, you know, he's obviously killed Johnny's dog, and now he's going to kill Johnny as well, which I thought was a bit over the top, but...
So...
Whatever.
Can you remind me, because there's this bizarre scene that... I could have gone back and watched it, but I didn't. Where somebody's driving a car and they go, in some of the worst delivery of lines I've ever heard, they go, let's wait to see what Johnny Eagle has to say. Right? Then you hear Johnny Eagle saying something like, it's okay, everybody, we've got the plan in place. It's going to be all right. And then he goes, the other person, who I don't know, goes, what makes you think we can stop him now? Now, honestly, right, yeah. I think for the podcast's sake here, John, leave what I've just said in, find the audio and put it in now. But also, I have no idea what that moment is.
Wait and hear what Johnny Eagle has to say. What makes you think we can win, Johnny?
I just talked to Jim Lowry in Sacramento, and he's so sure this is a landmark case, he's going to take it on for free.
What can we do to stop him now?
File suit against Noyo County for violation of our treaty fishing rights. And Kanko's tied up in court. Lowry's ready to slap it to him right now. So let's vote on it and get this thing...
I don't know what that means.
But again, it doesn't even matter. It's like, why have we got this thing going on between these two? Like, they could just have had it as he just doesn't like him because he doesn't like Indians.
Indians.
Like, okay, fine. Indians. I don't like no engines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things that are in cars. Yeah. Engine.
Fire Indians. I don't like them.
Yeah. But again, it doesn't matter. And that's why you've zoned out, because it doesn't fucking play into the film. So it's like, okay. All right, well, who cares? Anyway, so let's skip ahead a little bit. Two of the younger characters, who I haven't mentioned at all at this point, because, I mean, who cares, really? All right, we've got this young lad that doesn't need to be in this film. He really doesn't.
No.
I don't know why he's in it.
No.
And he gets quite a lot of screen time in the first 30 minutes. You know, there's a bit where he sneaks into the young lady's house. Peggy, yeah. I think her name is.
Yeah,
he's
Peggy.
Like, oh, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, let's do sexual stuff. She's like, no, look, you know, we've got to go to that big salmon festival. Salmon's going to be there. And they're like, okay, yeah, cool. So... Yeah. They drive to this salmon festival with four of their mates, and they get there and they get out of the car and get back into the car. I'm like, well, what are they doing this for? Yep. Just stay home. But anyway, so they're on the beach. They're playing around in the water. This guy gets his face ripped off. So he's dead now. Peggy runs away and she's raped. She's raped by... I mean, the stupidest looking sea monster I've ever seen.
Why are their arms so long?
Yeah. Well, the fin is. But it's just embarrassing, isn't it? Well, maybe they got the scale wrong.
Good.
Yeah, but it's just weird. But it's just grim, isn't it? It's grim for a film that up until this point has just been silly. Like, it's been funny because it's shit. And then you get this where it's so graphic. It's so graphic. And I'm just like, what is this?
What I will say
is 1980 as well.
This is the first occasion, but for every other time a female character is attacked by one of these sea creatures, their boobs fall out incredibly easily. Like, every time. It's like they scream once and whatever they're wearing around, like on their chest, falls apart. They're all wearing like bras made of paper.
Yeah, who's manufacturing the fucking women's clothes in this town? Fucking hell. Deke, probably.
His son.
So, yeah, you're right. You're right. And sometimes, I mean, their clothes don't even have to fall off. Just women are just taking their clothes off for whatever reason. And I'll tell you, I'll give you one reason. This scene, like, genuinely is so misplaced. It's like, whoever was making this film, well, I say whoever, it definitely wasn't Barbara that put this in. Like, Roger, he's obviously looked at this and gone, I'll tell you what's hot at the moment. in 1980, I'll tell you what everyone's loving at the moment is ventriloquists. They are like...
Fuck me.
Yeah. They are the guys that women love ventriloquists.
Tell you
so
what, mate.
Let's get one of them in.
There were some wooden performances in this film, and this wasn't one of them.
Ooh, yeah. So there you go. So yeah, this guy woos this girl with his with his dummy.
Ventriloquism gets all the girls. That's all. We all know that.
Yeah, fact. All right. Yeah. But I mean, he's. She takes her top off, so she's like, "Yeah, look, my boobs and that." Yeah. He's still playing that. He's still playing the dummy, going, "Oh yes,
oh, I'm getting hard. I'm getting hard and wooden." Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
And then he makes like a joke about splinters, and I'm just like, "Oh my word,
God, yeah."
But I'll insert the audio just for context.
Hey, honey, want to see my woodpecker?
Will I get splinters?
Don't worry, baby, I've been sanded. Hey, baby, I bet you never made it with two dummies. Like they say, two heads are better than one.
Well, Chuck, works every time.
What would you do without me?
Well, just watch.
Hey, so, yeah, what do you think you're
so
doing?
That happens. And I was watching it going, is that thing alive? Like, is the spin-off going to be that's like a haunted dummy or something?
Yeah, it's a Goosebumps story.
I'd love if Goosebumps, the whole series of books were inspired by this one film. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Inspired by characters originally featured in Humanoids from the Deep.
So... this time the raping is off screen, but they do double up. So this girl runs away from one humanoid. So it's not just one, you know, thirsty mating humanoid. She runs off, falls over. There's another one in front of her. I'm like, oh, yeah. Fucking hell. And then it just cuts to black. Correct. Yeah, too much. So anyway, we then go to Johnny, Tommy, and what I assume is Tommy's girlfriend...
Linda.
I mean,
so
is that what her name is? Is it?
Yeah, just to bring up Linda, actually, before the whole the scene with the guy getting his face ripped off. I think his name's Jerry. Is his name Jerry?
Something like that.
Way over the top with J names in this film.
Or ending with Y. Like, okay, yeah. Jim's just standing there. Like, is my name Jimmy? No, just Jim. All right.
But
King L.
Jerry and Peggy are getting off with each other on the beach, and Linda is sitting next to them, just staring at them. It's really fucking weird. I don't know why
that's weird.
Just stares at them, smiling, and I was like, "What is going on here? Is she one of the humanoids from the deep? Is that what's happening here?"
Yeah, is she in on it? Yeah. Well, no, we find out she isn't because she fucking dies. She dies in a car crash off a bridge in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like, well...
She is a terrible actor. She's driving a car. A humanoid from the deep tries to smash through the windscreen. She screams a bit and then, like, manages to get it off the car.
And
so drives
runs
off.
Runs it over.
And honestly, the way her facial expressions as she drives off, it looks like she's just maybe heard a song she doesn't like very much on the radio. Like... That's all. She's... okay, I better get on with my day. No, you'd be going mental.
Well, she does go mental. She drives off a bridge and then the fucking thing explodes. But again, I'm like, why are they spending money on that? Why do they keep spending big money deaths on people that mean nothing to the story? So we've had Deke and his kid, and now
Explode.
We've got her.
Explode.
Mental. Explodio. Going back to Johnny and Tommy, they're attacked not only by Hank and Hank's mates, but also a humanoid. So bad night for them.
Yeah.
And then obviously Tommy, he gets battered. I'm like, oh, Tommy's dead.
Yeah.
And then he isn't. It's like, no, he's not dead. I'm like, oh, okay.
Quick, take him to the hospital and then don't see him again ever in this movie.
Well, worse than that, if he's in such a bad way, why it's at night when he's lying there bleeding out.
I know.
It's the daytime the next day and he's in a speedboat. How slow is this boat? It's a small town, sure.
How far away does he live?
Go to the hospital. Why are you going to the fucking docks? Is there a doctor here? Like, no.
And
go
he's
to
so
the hospital.
Calm. He's so calm. Johnny's just driving. Do you drive a boat? I don't know what the terminology is.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Sail a boat.
I think you drive a speed... No, you don't sail a speedboat. No. It's a speedboat, isn't it?
Yeah, driving a speedboat.
So anyway. Yeah.
Casually.
So he drives a speedboat down the motorway. yeah. So anyway, so he turns up and everyone's standing at the docks to discuss the humanoid threat. And then Jim fires them up with a speech.
All right, I'm going out. Anybody coming with me?
What for?
To find evidence that something sank the Buckle, killed our dog. Now it's attacking humans. Whatever it is, it ain't him.
I need a mate, Slattery. How about it?
It's a waste of time.
You afraid?
afraid of what?
The funniest thing about this speech is he ends with
a little
thing where he's like, you know, he points behind him. He's like, you know, to points behind him to Johnny. He's pointing in the wrong direction, man. Like, edit that. Just go, look, can we shoot that again? Literally, you're going to have to point directly behind you, because otherwise you're pointing at fucking Susan when you say, I trust this guy. Like, oh, fucking hell. I couldn't get my head around it.
It's amazing. So just to, like, set the scene a little bit more, all the bad guys are standing around the docks talking about the fact that, like, Linda's dead and some of the other kids from the town are missing or whatever. And that's when Johnny rocks up with a badly injured Tommy. And Jim's there magically, as is Susan, Dr. Susan Drake. And Jim's a little bit concerned about his brother, but he sort of...
Not massively.
Not massively. He gets stuck in the back of a truck, taken to a hospital with Jim's wife. And then Jim's like, oh yeah, what's happened? Johnny's like, oh, there was sea monsters. And then Jim immediately believes him. Come on, everybody, we gotta go and get these sea monsters. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, and he asks a couple of the others to help, and they're like, oh, I'm a bit busy, mate, to be honest.
He asks the sheriff.
Even the sheriff's like, oh, my day's absolutely, it's backed up. It's backed up, mate.
And so he's desperate for people to help. He's like, come on, we got to go and get him. Come on, man. This Slattery, let's go. And Slattery's like, no. And the sheriff's like, no. And Johnny's like, I'll come with you. And he's like, all right, yeah, great. And then Dr. Susan Drake is like, I'm also going to come. And he's like, I don't need no help. No, you've just been trying to get everyone to help.
Oh, you definitely do need help. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. But just the bit where he mugs the sheriff off. The sheriff's like, well, hold on, you can't take him because I need to interview him because I think he's probably killed someone. And he's like, yeah, well, look, I need help to find these fish monsters. And he's like, all right, fair enough, take him. Take him out of my custody. That seems legit. Bizarre. So, yeah.
Is that things working?
His gun again. Just sound effects of a gun going off again. Yeah, it's weird. So anyway, we get this this super trio, and they speed off, and I'm just thinking, like, I mean, she's wormed her way in, but I mean, it's a very weak trio of Jim, Johnny, and Susan Drake. But you know, to their credit, ultimately we find out that the humanoids are a botched job from the lab. Who are attempting to increase the size of salmon. And in doing that, by accident, they've created these killer rapey humanoids. So they get to the beach and they're attacked by some very slow-moving humanoids that are suddenly useless, the most useless they are in the entire film. Jim manages to kill them very easily. And then they find Peggy.
Yep. And the one who recognises that it's Peggy... is Susan. She's like, oh my god, it's Peggy. How would she know who Peggy is? She's not from here.
She didn't even go into the fucking
She got
festival.
Here last night.
She was in the car the entire time. It doesn't make any sense. Oh yeah, I know her. How? That's it's what they so should have said. Go, look, I'll just say I know her, right? And also, it's another person whose name ends in Y. Like, hey, Johnny, Peggy, Jimmy, Billy. Who's Billy? Yeah. So, but look, you know, Peggy is important, but not until the end of the film. So we'll talk about that in a sec. So back at the lab, Susan has a go at her lab partner, throws him under the bus immediately.
I mean, some of these scenes are... this is my favourite section of the movie. It's incredible. First of all, you're right. Like, she absolutely destroys her co-worker. Like, Edwards, I think his name is. And he's sort of like, yeah, well, what if your theory is incorrect? And she loses her shit. She
you
loses
fucking
it.
Wanker.
You think my theory is incorrect? Well, it's not incorrect. It's like, okay, top dialogue. That's fucking, yeah. Well, you have roasted him.
I mean, look, to be honest, he's standing there. He's probably thinking, who the fuck are these two people that have just wandered into our lab? Like, where's the security measures in this place? And also, she's slagging off the company and all these secrets. I mean, he quite rightly is like, look, can we just, let's keep it quiet for now. You know, we do work for this company. Fuck's sakes. Let's probably investigate it internally first. And then she calls him a stupid ass.
Oh my God.
A stupid ass. Why? Yeah,
that's fair.
What is that? What sort of an insult is that?
You stupid ass.
He looked devastated as well.
He's gutted. He's absolutely gutted.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell. She's calling him stupid ass in front of these two random guys. So we learn that the humanoids are driven to mate, which I thought was fairly obvious, but I mean, do we need to know that? just find that out off screen. Like, fucking hell, I mean, we've been watching the film, for fuck's sake.
Okay, so there's a bit here again. I'm not going to change anything about this. This is exactly what happens, right? Susan Drake, the doctor, is explaining that they've got some sort of chemical or like an extra chromosome or whatever, like some accelerant, some biological accelerant that they've accidentally, they were testing it out and they accidentally released a load of salmon, right? So we accidentally released like 300 salmon with this gene, this extra gene. Yeah. Right, this is what she says. Like, so we had these salmon, we accidentally released them. Then there's like 10 seconds of silence while they watch this sort of microscopic thing going on. And yeah. Jim's follow-up question to that, to her saying, we've accidentally released all these salmon with an extra gene. He goes, what if the other fish are salmon? And Susan replies, exactly. What? Exactly what? What has happened here? I think Jim is just obsessed with the word salmon. Like, this was my little moment of creativity. I made a little Wordle. I don't know if you know a Wordle. Yeah. It's something that we do in school. But the amount of times that a word is said makes it, like, if a word's said a number of times, it will be larger. And if the word is said only a few times, it will be smaller. And, Jim's dialogue Wordle is a giant salmon, and then like a slightly smaller bro. Then he's got why and what are both sort of fairly large as well. He asks a lot of questions, as well as Drake, and then scared. He accuses a lot of people of being scared throughout the movie.
Yeah.
But that was the most bizarre bit of dialogue I've heard in a long time. And
yeah, I mean, the whole scene is so slow paced for a film like this. Like,
it's mental.
They're sitting there watching like fucking a black and white, I don't know, like microscopic cells, and it's like, what the fuck is this? Can we just we'll just take your word for it. We'll take your word for it. We're in a lab.
What if the other fish are salmon?
Exactly. Huh? Yeah.
What?
Anyway, Jim starts panicking and he's like, oh, fuck, you know what's happening tonight, didn't you? No. Yeah, that big festival. Oh, yeah, that one festival that we do.
Oh,
so
God.
There's a big festival on the boardwalk. And they're like, yeah. Oh, no, let's go there now because, you know, humanoids. Okay. So then we get this big scene, a big festival. I'll be honest, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You got the little radio guy. What's it called?
Len.
K-Fish, is it? K-Fish? And I love it. There's one point where he's like, so come on, guys, come on down. We're up here at the K-Fish stand. We're having a great time. We're waving to people. It's like, right, is that how you have a great time, is it? How do you have a great time?
I mean, he's standing next to a girl. He knows her clothes are going to disintegrate in the next 10 minutes, so he's buzzing.
And they literally do.
Ah! Why are your clothes jumping off? Their clothes are alive. What the fuck? Clothes run off. Oh, fucking hell, there's some humanoids. See ya! Back to Deke's shop. Yeah, just fucking weird. But some of my personal highlights. Them smashing through the boardwalk. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, good little horror trope. I liked it. It was good. It looked good.
It's good.
It's just a shame that what smashed through was some very dodgy costumes. But, you know,
yeah,
is what it is. There's a girl on roller skates. Now, she's going slower than walking pace in the opposite directions where everyone is running. Like, she's definitely going to die, isn't she? Like, make an effort. But you should be speeding
she pulled
away.
Over. Pulled over and said, what are you worried about?
Well, I'll tell you what she's worried about. Some fucking maniac humanoid that ends up raping her. Like, oh, no. Terrible.
Yeah,
and then we get a little bit of story development. So Hank saves a young girl. Very lazy young girl, but he saves her nonetheless.
Yeah.
Who's dangling on a little bit of bridge.
Oh, I'm stuck here. Well, just climb up, mate.
Fucking hell. Yeah, just climb up. Fuck. King hell, man. You could probably walk up it, honestly. So anyway, he goes down there to save her. Like, he takes the longest way to save her, but he saves her nonetheless. And then he gets attacked. And you're thinking, oh, man, look, you know, Hank's going to be killed by this humanoid that is very slow. And Johnny saves him. Yeah, so they've come full circle. So, you know, Hank gets his hero moment. Johnny saves Hank, and it's like, yeah, now they're best mates. And they get off with one another. Be like, fucking hell, that'd be mad, wouldn't it? That's on that.
And then they have dog babies.
We have dogs in this town again. Thank you, Hank and Johnny. And we're going to call these dogs Doggy, because of the Y.
Of course. Can I tell you my personal highlight of this scene?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do it, do it.
It's right at the start when the monsters are smashing from underneath the boardwalk, and Dr. Susan Drake, like, there's monsters just smashing through everywhere, going rah, 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 and everyone's screaming and running away, and Susan goes, like, it's sort of muffled, you can't hear it properly because there's all the screaming, but she starts going, "Don't panic." What do you mean, don't panic? Definitely do panic.
I mean, it's like 300 salmon going mental here.
But what if the other fish are salmon?
Exactly. So, that was a bit mad. I did notice when I was doing my notes, I hadn't really mentioned Jim, his wife and kid. Because he has a wife and kid. And they're being stalked. Because they're at home, they've not gone to the festival for some reason. They're like, nah, fuck that. And they're being stalked by a humanoid, but, you know, they're absolutely fine, by the way. I mean, this scene is just an absolute Halloween ripoff where, you know, she's being stalked in the home and it's like, oh no, what's going to happen to her and the kid? Well, nothing, because she just stabs it to death and it's absolutely fine. And then and then Jim turns up, he rushes through the door and you think, oh no, she's gonna stab Jim. And obviously she doesn't. He grabs the knife because, you know, she's especially slow when she tries to stab whoever runs through the door. And then in a gruff voice, he just says, "Carol, Carol, 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 Johnny, Johnny, Carol.
Carol, Carol, Carol. Carol, you all right? John.
Okay, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, what's that? It's fucking bizarre. But yeah, so they then decide the best thing to do is to inexplicably go, right, get the kid. We're going back to the festival. It's absolute chaos. There are people lying on the floor and stuff. Exactly where you want to take a small child. But
yeah,
there's blood everywhere.
Just take him for a walk.
Decapitated and raped. You know what, let's go back down there. I know my wife's stressed out and I've got a very small child, but fuck it, let's go back down there. You know, who cares? So they go back down there. He bumps into the sheriff, who has had a nervous breakdown, I think, because he's just mumbling away.
I mean, that was him through the whole film.
Yeah, I know, but it's worse, isn't it? It's worse.
I mean, slightly.
But he's, like, inspiring confidence in all those that he meets. And he's like, hey, man, where's Susan? I'm like, all right, don't talk about Susan in front of your wife, but whatever. We find out that Susan Drake has gone back to the lab because Peggy is giving birth. To what? And then, I mean, this scene is such a rip-off of Alien that I can't get my head around how they can't sue. Because, I mean, it even looks like the alien just smashes out of her stomach, screams at the screen.
Yeah. Did they just copy that bit of Alien and put it in? Like, but as in the actual footage.
Freeze
from
frame,
Alien.
You've got. Yeah, freeze frame, you got John Hurt in the background.
John Hurt's now playing Peggy.
Yeah. Yeah, just before it goes to the credits, you just get a single frame of Sigourney Weaver, and then it's just the end. And it is the end. That's the end of the film. So, you know, it's only right now that I hand over to you, Gaz, to give me your bloob score. Now, sure. Is this a zero Blueberry movie? Go for it. Talk to me.
I'm going to tell you, it is not a zero Blueberry movie. In fact, I don't know what there is that you wouldn't love in this movie. It's got fishermen. Yeah, all right. There are some things.
Yeah,
I'll come to that.
Some bits, yeah.
It's got fishermen, monsters, scientist lady, salmon, dogs, abysmal breast support, Johnny Eagle, and terrible dialogue. Those are all great things to have in a movie. It's a shame that it turns so problematic with some of those scenes, because this isn't a movie that you want to have a serious debate about, and it's not a movie that should be taken seriously. But having a movie show some of those those graphic rape scenes makes it a problem. And it means that you can't just be like, oh yeah, it's harmless fun. Because it's not. It's a little bit dangerous.
It's very exploitative, yeah.
Yeah. However, did I have fun when I was watching this movie? Very much. If you said to me now, given that I watched it last night for the first time, if you said to me now, would you rather watch that again or any of the last five episodes of Westworld? 100% I'm picking Humanoids from the Deep. 100%.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I agree.
So I'm actually going to give this film two blueberries because I had a good time. I had a good time watching it.
Yeah.
Would do it again, despite its problems. And it has got some serious problems.
Yeah. Yeah, what are your thoughts? That's fair. Do you know what? I'm excited for people to watch this film because I just found it so funny. Whereas when someone's like, oh, yeah, when you were talking about Fred the movie, I was like, yeah, I'll give that a watch because it's so shit. And I was like, no, definitely don't.
Definitely
don't watch that film.
Don't do that.
You know, we've done this podcast, so you don't have to. And we watch these
films.
Don't
put the audio in again.
I'm not doing that. But with this, like, so Emma messaged me before you'd seen it and was like, oh, I might watch that Humanoids from the Deep. And I was like, definitely do it. It's hilarious.
So,
I agree. I think that the only question for me is this better than Alienator, which so far is like creme de la creme of best films that we've seen on the Worst of Netflix series. And I don't think it's as good as Alienator, only because I'm just thinking about the lightsaber in Alienator, and that's just beautiful.
Out of nowhere. So,
I was his dad. What? I fucking know where's he going from?
Oh, he's dead. Doesn't matter.
And also, there's no rape in Alienator. Unnecessary rape. So I will give this a 2 bloob, but for me, Alienator is still the best. But this is way better than most of the shit that we've watched. And again, you know, this is 100% a so bad it's good film. And look, I would say if had Rog not got involved and added loads of that unnecessariness, look, this might have been the film in the series, but it isn't. So a 2 bloob. So it's not a worst of Netflix film, or at least it's not a 0 bloob film. But maybe we'll get one next. So Gaz, why don't you reveal what our next film is? And hopefully we'll watch it and pod on it at some point in the next 8 months.
I do remember you saying, actually, when you set this 224 days ago, or however long it was, I remember you saying, I'm going to give you a bit of a treat. And you did. So I'm grateful for that. However, I'm not going to return the favour. We're going to watch a movie. I'll give you a brief synopsis. And the thing is, this sounds a lot like another movie that I'm sure we all know, but probably haven't seen. And it's a shit version of a shit movie. The synopsis is, when a dad-to-be learns he's actually a sextuplet, he sets off on a wild journey to meet his long-lost family. Marlon Wayans stars as all six siblings. Brilliant. So it's one of them. One of those movies where we're going to have the one actor playing, you know, probably like himself, plus a giant version of himself, plus a woman, plus a nerd, plus one who thinks that he's a gangster. So it's that sort of film.
Yeah,
brilliant. It's called Sex Tuplets.
Yeah, brilliant. Good. I mean, that sounds fucking dog shit.
It's not going to be good. It's all right, because Netflix says this movie is raunchy, banned. Goofy. So there you go.
Yeah, raunchy and goofy. Fucking hell. Yep. Stick those on a poster. So yeah, all right. Well, that brings us to a close. Maybe it will be 8 months before I can stomach watching and podding on that. But look, if you have enjoyed this episode, feel free to send us your feedback and thoughts at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. You can send me your feedback on Twitter at fancriticalpod, or Instagram if you wish, at @fan_critical. Of course, we do have a Patreon. For the first time, we didn't plug that in our advert, so we're plugging it now. If you want to decide what films we watch, pay us some money, we'll watch them and we'll pod on them just for you. But other than that, thanks, Gaz. It's been a long time coming, but we've done it.
Thanks, mate. I enjoyed it. Let's not make it as long till the next one.
Well, you've picked a terrible film, so it will be long. I wonder what will end first, the length waiting for this next episode or this COVID virus. Who knows?
Oh, that's true. #, can we beat COVID?
Well, look, if you give us $60 on Patreon, we will beat COVID. Fact. We're giving that away. But other than that, stay safe, and we'll see you within a year. Bye.